Good morning, everybody. This is Jane Cormier, your host here on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, your host for Artful Living. And for everyone out there, we have a new little semi-group of people that we're going to be talking to throughout April. And for those that heard our program on Tuesday, you will know that WKXL is sponsoring New Hampshire Opera Idol 2024 this year. And as sponsor, we thought it would be great to have some of the singers that made the final round come on our show for Artful Living and talk to us for a while. So you're in for a treat today. We're going to be talking with Addison Patillo, who is a soprano. Hello, Allison. Oh, Addison, sorry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. So we're going to have a chat today. Our audiences love to have our conversations. For those listening, we don't pre-screen anything. So what you hear is exactly what the conversation will be. I don't really know Addison, and together we're going to get to learn all the skinny on Addison and her career and her participation in New Hampshire Opera Idol. So this will be a fun hour. All right, Addison, we're going to start right at the top. Why don't you take a couple of seconds here or a few minutes, whatever you deem appropriate, and introduce yourself to our listeners.
All right. Hi, listeners. I'm Addison. I am originally from Dallas, Texas, and I moved up to Boston to get my master's degree in vocal performance. So before that, I kind of grew up in a sports culture. My dad was like a coach. And so I did that for a while. And then when I went to high school, I said, well, I need a fine arts credit. So just going to sign up for choir, right? And I found that I really loved it. And my mom actually was a singer.
Oh.
But she didn't push us towards that like my dad did towards sports. So I got involved in singing, and I fell absolutely in love with it. And the culture down in Texas is a lot more choir-based, mm-hmm. and I had a really fabulous high school choir director, so I said, okay, I'm going to do music ed.
Great.
So I got my undergraduate degree in music ed, but the entire time I was kind of finding my voice, like metaphorically in air quotes, but also literally.
Mm-hmm.
And my voice teacher then, you know, encouraged me to start singing. So I guess all of what I'm saying is I am a opera singer by way of former teaching.
Yes.
So I did that for a few years and then decided to come up to Boston and get my degree.
And where are you going for your degree?
I finished from Boston University last May.
Wonderful. Great program there.
Yes. Yeah, it was a great time. I was really fortunate to be in that time. It was kind of like the emerging from COVID time, you know?
Yeah, right.
Our whole first year we had to like get tested once or twice a week and whatever. So it was kind of a nice thing to see the art scene come back to life in that way.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Yeah, decided to stick around in this area.
So you're a soprano.
I am, yes.
You are. And you know what? I think that there are plenty of singers out there that have come to their opera career through music ed. Pavarotti Absolutely. Being one of them. He was a teacher before he became the big
Right.
opera star. So, I mean, you're in good company there.
Yeah, it's just me and Pavarotti. good company.
That's okay. That works, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know what? It's a big difference being in New Hampshire than Texas. Did you find that that change was a little bit, you know, difficult, or did you go easy with that?
Oh, I think difficulty is maybe not as much, but it was very different. Like in a lot of ways, felt like moving to a new country.
Really?
You know, I spent a lot of my time, you know, yes, ma'aming, yes, siring, calling my teachers, you know, doctor this or professor this. Like there's just like a very, you know, a thing
Southern.
In Texas,
yeah.
like in the South, a
yeah,
respect
yeah.
thing. And
yeah.
one of my teachers finally was like, you don't have to call me that. You just call me by my first name. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah. we had a fun conversation about
Didn't that.
Didn't
that feel weird though, doing that?
Yeah. Yes. Even these days, I have to like catch myself from saying yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Sometimes cause people get...
Oh, I think
some,
it's
some
nice.
People get a little offended, but
yeah. Oh, mamma mia! I don't know. I think it's nice. I'm a lot older than you, so I'm from a different generation. But I always find that charming and polite and all good things. But I do remember when I grew up. When I got older, I did some singing myself, and I know that when I went back to my teachers, my college teachers, or you know, the voice teachers for master's work. It was really hard, and I never really overcame the not saying, you know, their name, like Mr., you know, Mr. Lenny. I just couldn't, you know, call them by their first names. It was so uncomfortable.
It's strange, isn't it? Yeah. There's like a, I think for me, I want there to be an acknowledgement of like, you have been doing this longer than me, and you know more than I do, so like, I am deferring to your expertise. And then I think people up here, I mean, the way my teacher said it was actually really great. He's a director in this area, Nathan Troop. And he said, look, our goal here is when you're done with your degree that you're going to be my peer.
Yeah.
So you don't have to call me professor anything.
Okay.
Because when you leave, hopefully we'll work together.
There you go.
And that would be great. So that perspective on it was like, yeah, and that makes more
that
sense.
That does make more sense. You're right.
Yes. But I still keep it on in the tool belt, as we say, because it's just what I'm used to.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I think that's actually really commonsensical, because until maybe they release you from doing it, you're sure not to really ruffle any feathers, right?
Right.
It covers all bases, but that's fine.
Absolutely.
And certainly we do hope that... you know, as we grow in our career, that the peer, that we become peers of those that we worked with or as teachers or coaches, you know, but that's a whole other scenario, right? Of
totally.
The growth, right? Absolutely. So, you know, congratulations, because you're in our finals.
Thank
and,
you. I'm very excited.
Yeah. You know, we are too. We really love to have great young singers come in and join us. And, you know what? We are in the second segment. When we after we come back from the break, we're going to offer your piece that was by Adamo. What is Little Women? What was the name of the piece that you offered?
It's called Have Peace, Joe.
Have Peace, Joe. Right. Okay. And I know that you offered another piece by Rachmaninoff that really wasn't that well known, and so I thought that for today's show. Actually, we would play that piece for our audience.
Oh, great.
And when we do that, you could set that up. But you're going to be doing the Little Women piece, I assume, for our competition.
I am. Yep.
And how do you like that piece?
Oh, I love it. That was the last role that I got a chance to do at school was that.
Wonderful. Okay.
So it feels good to sing because it has that like kind of staged groundedness that sometimes audition pieces don't. Feel so, like they have.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about that because, you know, our listeners aren't necessarily opera savvy within the art form itself, right? They might go and see and like an opera, which is awesome. But you know what? There is a difference between a piece that you've learned for an audition and a piece that you have sung in the opera and then use that piece for an audition. So tell us how that differs.
Yes, I think... Honestly, Best March is a great example. This song, Have Peace, Joe, is her big aria in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about, especially up here, it's a pretty well-known story.
Yes.
If you think about her character arc all the way through the show, she's, you know, the loving, you know, kind of angel sister.
Right.
Is watching her sisters kind of go through their lives, and she's the one that just says, you know, I'm happy for everyone to be here at home. So she's kind of the connecting thread sometimes for all of them.
Mm-hmm.
She goes through watching, you know, Meg go and get married, and she's so happy about that. She sees Amy go off to do her art studies. She sees Joe, you know, going back and forth and going to New York and, you know, all that. And then she gets ill, and, you know, it's not looking good.
Right.
So... Joe comes back home, and in the opera version, there's some cuts made, because obviously it would be a really, really long opera if it was the whole story.
That's right.
But when Joe comes home, Beth knows that she's about to go. And she's trying to tell Joe, who she knows will have the hardest time moving on, it's okay. I've lived the kind of life that I wanted to live. And, you know, so she sings this song to her to say,
this is
the way it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, use this to grow yourself. And then she passes.
It's very sad.
The context of the show, super sad.
Yeah, super sad.
She literally dies like right at the end of the song. In true opera fashion, she's,
Well, there it is, right? Opera fashion is what we're talking about.
Screaming, singing. Yeah, right? Like right until her last moment.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to interrupt you because we're going to have to take a little break here.
Oh, great.
We're going to take a little break, but stay right where you are out there. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM Manchester. We're coming right back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the opera with Addison Patillo. Welcome back out there, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and of course our new signal 101.9 FM in Manchester. We're happy to have you with us today. This is Jane Cormier, your host for Artful Living, and we're having a wonderful conversation here if you're just joining us. Don't forget, New Hampshire Opera Idol is on the horizon, April 28th. And today actually starts our conversations. We call it Singer Spotlight, where we're going to talk with some of the finalists for our competition. And our singer here today is Addison Patillo. And Addison was actually letting us know about one of the arias that she's going to be singing in the final round, which is Half Peace Joe from the opera Little Women. And we were sort of expounding right there at the end about, you know, there's some death here. And it's very sad, but you know what? That's kind of what opera's all about.
It is. It really is.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, listen, we're going to actually have a nice little offering for our listeners, because we're going to play Addison singing a piece from Francesca da Rimini, yeah? And
yes.
It's a Rachmaninoff piece. And I don't really know that much about this specific piece. So why don't you fill us in and then we'll have a play of it.
Of course. So Francesca da Rimini is a one-act opera by Rachmaninoff. It starts with Dante's Inferno type scene. So Dante's being led through the Inferno by Virgil. And he gets to, I believe it's the second layer of hell, and he sees these two lovers that are blown apart by a wind and they can never embrace. And he goes, well, what's the deal with them? And so Virgil kind of in a flashback moment explains their story, which is actually based on a real couple in Italy, like I believe like medieval, around when the Inferno was written, that Francesca da Rimini, I can't remember the real woman's name that it's based after, but basically she married, it was kind of a political marriage. She did not love her husband, and she fell in love with his brother, and they, you know, had a true love, like passionate affair, and the husband found them together and killed both of them. Mm. So, of course, that sent the both of them to hell forever, never to embrace. But the song she's singing in this moment is a really beautiful song about how if they're good in life, then they will be rewarded in eternity with being together. So she's kind of rebuffing him and saying, no, I can't go through with this because I know we will get to be together forever if we do the right thing here, which is, you know, doubly sad because, you know, that's not true.
Right.
So that's the song she's singing at this moment.
Okay. Awesome. And this is going to be in Russian, correct?
Yes. The title of it is Onye Rodai Moi Paolo, which is Do Not Weep, My Paolo.
Okay. Do not weep, my Paolo. Okay, so let's listen to this wonderful Rachmaninoff aria.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very beautiful. Very beautiful. You have a very sparkling soprano sound.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, no, very pretty. Oh, so let me ask
on
you.
On the radio.
Yes.
Exciting.
And everybody can hear it, absolutely.
Yeah.
So listen, tell me, why did you choose this specific piece?
I actually was recommended this piece by my voice teacher during my degree at BU, Dr. Lynn Eustace. She went to the finals of the Met competition and heard someone sing it, and she went, hey, I think these are things that you do well, kind of the high sustained stuff, like you said, the kind of sparkle above the staff.
Right.
And so I started working on it and really fell in love with it. It's got that just nice Rachmaninoff lush goodness to it. So, yeah, I decided to use that as my audition starter for this last year.
I gotcha. All right. And sort of have to be comfortable with the Russian language to do justice to that piece, I'm sure.
Yes, yeah. I had a lot of help with that.
Yeah, well, it's not an easy language to sing in, for sure.
No,
so many different spaces. You know, people don't really understand, I think, and no reason why they should, that when we sing opera, we do have to have a pretty good handle on the nuances of the language. And it's
absolutely
more than just being able to say it, you know, like the diction of it. There is a color that goes with the speaking, and you really have to try to match that up. So the whole goal I was always taught when we were singing, when I was singing, was that somebody that is Italian, someone is German, should not be able to detect that you are not fluent in the language.
Right. They should come up to you after the concert and start talking to you in Italian. That's what I've heard as well.
Yes, that's kind of like what it is. And I'm sure that that aria certainly felt comfortable, you know, in your register and what you were offering with it. So I'm sure there was some diction, a lot of diction work put on that piece. Good for you.
Yes. I had a friend who was a string player who is from Russia, and she helped me with that.
Awesome.
And there's some differences you have to negotiate between speaking and singing, but yeah, still refining, but I felt good about it enough to use it for auditions.
Yeah, very good. Well, you offered two very different selections for sure, right?
Yeah.
So that's always a good thing when we're doing competitions. So tell us, what do you think about where the opera world is for the young emerging singer today?
Ooh.
Yeah, scary, right?
A little bit. I think there's kind of two sides of the coin.
Okay.
There's been kind of a shift post-COVID in the arts world that people are still doing contracts that they were offered, you know, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's creating a little bit of like a bottleneck for people like me who are trying to emerge from school or from training programs and get in.
Right.
Because some of the programs that we would normally be looking into are, you know, kind of have their bills set.
Correct.
But on the other hand, I think because of the shift and because of there being a little bit of a, I don't want to say the word scramble, but like there's just a change in like, you know, what companies are prioritizing. There is some different opportunity for younger singers who maybe are a little bit more green to come in and prove themselves in spaces where normally it wouldn't have been an option because of money or things like that, where they normally would have just hired a professional singer. So I'm just looking for those spaces, you know?
Those special opportunities.
Absolutely.
All right. Very good. All right. We're going to take a little break here. We're speaking with Addison Patillo, who is currently, I assume, in the Boston area.
Yes.
And Addison will be one of the finalists for the New Hampshire Opera Idol 2024. We're going to take a break here. WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Stay right where you are, and we're going to come back with Addison. Welcome back, WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio. This is Art for Living. Jane Cormier, your host, And if you're just joining us today, you're in for another treat because we are starting our singer spotlight today. And we've been having a chat with one of the singer finalists for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, Addison Patillo, who is a soprano. And Addison was telling us in the last, we were speaking a little bit in the last segment, if you're just joining us, the emerging singer situation. You know, what does a young opera singer have to do right now with the situation of opera, you know, going through a meaningful change? And she was telling us that making the most of any special event that would become available is key right now. Addison, what are you finding with the competition world? Are you finding that there are fewer competitions out there?
I think maybe the opposite. I feel like there's lots of great competition opportunity, maybe in a way that I wasn't aware of it because I was in the teaching world before, but I have found that there have been some really great competitions.
Wonderful.
And I was actually encouraged to do so by my former teacher from undergrad. And she said, you know, competitions are a great way to just get some experience being on stage, to get exposure, to make connections. And I found that to be really, really true.
Have you been doing a few of them?
Yeah, so I was actually able to compete in the National Opera Association's Carolyn Bailey Argento competition in January.
Cool.
Which was a great, you know, it was a great time.
Yeah.
I went to the conference. It was 3 days long and met a whole bunch of people that were wonderful and had great advice and said, let's stay in touch. And from all over the country, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to sing in the artist division of the competition, which was great. They, you know, were very generous and like, gave us a travel stipend because it was in Arizona. So I got to hang out in Arizona, which was cool.
Right.
And then I also did the LaFont Met Opera competition this year as well and just got some really valuable feedback from judges there. And yeah, that's always a good experience.
Yes. I guess networking is really important. And competitions do allow you to get out there and meet people, other singers and, you know, coaches that might be judging or, you know, people that are judging. So yeah, very
Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit what your future is going to hold, the near future. What do you have planned?
Okay. Near future.
Yeah.
I am singing in a recital series here at the end of May in the Boston area through Catalyst New Music.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of project called Fuse, where they pair up a singer with a poet and a composer.
Great idea.
And so it's so fabulous. My team is Lisa and Marlanda. Marlanda wrote our poetry and Lisa did the composition. And we kind of got in this nice conversation about, you know, what it feels like to have different generational relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being in the South, I feel like Marlanda and I especially kind of bonded over the fact that, you know, the man that I call my grandpa, who's like the sweetest man I've ever met,
mm-hmm.
was kind of a strict, you know, father to my father.
Uh-huh.
And their relationship is very different. So she wrote this really beautiful poem just kind of about the idea of going away and coming back to those kinds of areas and relationships in our lives. And then Lisa put it to music, and it's really fun. I kind of got to dictate, like, these are the things I do best, and these are the things I'm not so good at. So the piece, I feel like, is really well-tailored, and I'm able to, like, make suggestions and stuff like that. So working on that, that will be May 31st. And then, you know, I'm going to be traveling to New Hampshire at the end of this month for a little New Hampshire Opera Idol.
Yeah, nice. We're going to be enjoying seeing all the singers coming in. So this Fuse project sounds really interesting. Did you have time to put it together, or was it sort of like a month period, or was it over a year long period? What was the time frame to bring it all together?
So this was a project that Brendan Shapiro in the Boston area started last year. And so the framework of it was, I think I did my application in November or December. Mm-hmm. Just like a Google form that was like, what do you like? What do you like to think about? What do you sing about? Cool. What inspires you?
Okay.
Kind of just about you. And then from there, they kind of picked, I think there's like a handful, so maybe like 5 to 10 singers.
Yeah.
And then poets, 5 to 10, and composers as well. And so we met all together as a group.
Yeah.
And then in January, we met just the three of us and had our couple of Zoom discussions about what we thought we might be able to come up with. Hmm. And then Marlanda took it and returned two gorgeous poems that were kind of partner poems by the end of the month.
Wow.
End of January, beginning of February.
Okay.
And then Lisa took it from there and worked on her composition. And we're all from all over. I believe Lisa's in the Pacific Northwest area.
Wow.
And Marlanda's in the, you know, East South Coast. So we kind of are jumping all over the map.
Sure.
But then Lisa got it back to us a couple weeks ago. So I've started my portion of the work and just starting to learn it and get it
prepared. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been really a fabulous project all around.
Yeah. So it's been happening sort of like last 3 months or so. And
yes.
Is that about right? And you're going to be having that concert, you said, at the end of May?
At the end of May.
What day? Do you have the date?
The 31st. It'll be May 31st.
May 31st. And that's going to be where?
It is in Cambridge.
Okay.
Off the top of my head, I'm not remembering the exact location.
It's okay. If they wanted information, do you know where they could go to attend that?
Catalyst New Music has a website.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I just pulled it up. So Catalyst with
fabulous.
A C, CATALYST, catalystnewmusic.com. And if you go to that website, you can actually hit performances and events. And it does say collaborations and songs. So Fuse, collaborations and songs.
Yeah, Fuse, collaborations and songs.
There you go. So if anybody is interested.
It's going to be at Longy.
Longy School. Okay.
Yeah.
So May 31st in Cambridge will be this final concert of this collaboration and song project. What a great idea. That's very interesting stuff. Fuse.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Fabulous idea.
All right. So that's really exciting. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. All right.
Yeah, and I'm glad I found it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Because we do like to try to get this information out to our listeners because they'll go. They'll partake in it. So that's a good thing. All right. So, so you have something in April. You have something in May.
Yes.
You have got your master's now. You said you completed at BU?
Yes, I do have my master's degree.
Good.
Big feat.
No, that's great. Good for you. And so now what does the long term look like for Addison Patillo?
Long-term.
Yeah.
Long-term is cobbling together a career that makes me excited to get out of bed and get after it every day,
yeah.
I think, big picture. like I said, I'm just kind of starting to chip away at breaking into the opera industry. So there's that side. I also am an improv comedian. So that's where,
really?
Yeah, yeah, that's where the bulk of my stage experience is, actually.
Huh.
So I would love to incorporate that into my career, either as a performer or as a teacher at any of these places.
Wow.
I actually found it to be so, so helpful as a skill set in my opera performing and trying to, like, think about making a curriculum for opera singers about improv and, you know, just
wow.
that kind of thing. I think with the question you asked before about what's going on in the industry for young singers,
right?
More than ever, it's not an A to B to C to D kind of path. You have to look at your own skill set
mm-hmm.
and kind of make your own opportunities. So I've recently been able to dive back into improv after taking a break for grad school, so that feels really good. And I'm going, hey, this is going to be part of the big puzzle framework that is my life.
There you
go.
So
that's exciting.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. Good observation that you've made that the cobbling together what you want your career to be, if opera's a part of that, you know, good to go. And being able in this day and age to be able to put together different facets is probably something that might not have worked, you know, 10 years ago. So
right. I think
yeah,
it's all shifting all the time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure COVID, you know, had its downside, but maybe that's an upside too. You know, the creativity yeah. of what can happen. All righty, I hear our music playing. We're going to take a little break and come back our final segment with Addison Patillo, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. Stay right where you are, because we're coming right back. Hello there, everybody. This is Jane Cormier, your host here on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com, Artful Living Today. And we are we're starting our new Singer Spotlight program, which will highlight singers from New Hampshire Opera Idol. Every Tuesdays, we have singers sort of scheduling whenever they're open to come in. Actually, those interviews are going to be about 30 minutes each, but we had a cancellation today, so we have Addison for a full hour. So it's been a pleasure. And you know, it's funny how fast the time goes when we have people on that love what they do. It's a good thing.
Thank you.
So, Addison, you're a gal from Texas, and you're here in the Boston, New England area. Any plans on getting back to the Texas area?
Wow. Listen, my family is there, so there are things that I miss about being there.
I'm sure.
The weather is not one of them. I'll just throw that out there right at the top. But I think most exciting part about this career path is that it could take you anywhere.
Yeah.
And so the idea of landing in Texas is not like absolutely horrid to me at all. I think it would be a great thing if the right opportunity came.
Mm-hmm.
I think the nice thing about being in New England is that everything's much more condensed, and especially the art scene.
Right.
So in the Dallas area where I grew up, there's not a whole lot of games in town, at least from what I was aware of when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have to be, you know, if I got in with the Dallas Opera, saddle me up, I would go
sure.
in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm really not opposed to ending up anywhere. And
yeah.
my mom is a flight attendant, so it's nice that she can come and see me wherever
Good.
And whenever.
Awesome.
I think she might actually try to come up for the New Hampshire Opera Idol
oh,
as
I
well.
Hope so. Well, we'll have
yeah,
to make
it'll be
sure
great.
We introduce her. You introduce her to me. I'd like to meet her.
Of
Very
course,
nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
You know what? What drew you to opera in Dallas, Texas? I know you said you sang in chorus, but you know what? A lot of kids sing in chorus and they're not necessarily drawn to opera, which is this ultra dramatic art form. What was it that drew you specifically to it?
I think my experience starting on my own vocal journey, when I got to the aria portion, it was a thing that I felt like, oh, this might be a thing that I can do well.
Wow.
My undergrad teacher, in the midst of my education degree, took time to encourage me to do as many opera performance opportunities as I could. She put me forth for master classes and for competitions and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a sign to me that like, oh, this is something I could do. So when I taught and then decided to come back, you know, I gave her a call and she was like, I've been waiting for this call. Let's jump back in. So I think, you know, it's just where I found that my voice landed the best.
Mm-hmm.
And then also I think the people that I've met through doing opera, and especially the ones that I was exposed to in my undergrad and my kind of post-grad life, were just the kinds of people that I went, oh, this is what I want to be. And
right.
these are the people that I want to be around. People who are passionate and hardworking and, you know, fun. And I think there's something great about diving into a kind of niche.
Yeah.
art form, and you find people who get it, and that feels really good. It's like a community to be a part of wherever you go.
Right. Absolutely. And that does bring it forward for you, this art form specifically. You know what? I see on your resume you sung Costanza from Die Entführung. How did you find that experience?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we did that in a scenes program, and I absolutely loved singing that music.
Yeah.
It was a big step. That's a huge role.
It is a very huge coloratura role, for sure.
Yes, it is. And I'm, it's definitely on the bucket list for role studies for me.
Yeah.
Well, as well as Blonda, you know, I would love to be able to sing whatever. And those two are ones that, like, depending on the size of the house.
Sure.
You know, you could figure it out.
You could do either one. Well, the Costanza you would be good with, because you do have that very pristine upper voice, especially in that second act, where she has the quiet, slow piece before she goes into Martin. That has to take a very special sound to make that work. And I do hear that in your voice. I don't know about the fioratura. I'm sure that's a whole other thing, right?
But it's a whole other thing.
Yeah,
always.
That's okay. That's all right. But your voice does suit. I think it's the Traurigkeit. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear that. I'm sure that the very light, beautiful, floaty part would sound great on that.
Well, thank you.
So you did go to Baylor, I see.
I did, yes.
Good.
Like a bear.
Good, good, good. It's a good college.
It is.
Lots of sports
really
at Baylor.
Strong music grit. Yeah, great sports. Better music program, I would say.
Yeah. You said that your dad was into sports. What did you get any of that genetically?
Genetically, I played volleyball pretty competitively.
Good.
Up until the time that I switched to choir. Uh-huh. But my sister played softball like all the way through school.
I see.
And we both kind of did everything. We did softball, basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she got to do soccer. I always wanted to, but my parents were like, no, you're not a runner. We know this about you. And then I found volleyball and I loved it. So.
Wow. Good for you. Good for you. Well, it sounds like that you really did have a very well-rounded experience, which is not a bad thing for an opera singer, you know? I mean,
no, I think team sports is such a great reference point for what it feels like to be in a production.
Yep.
Is, you know, everybody's kind of has their own role, but you're working towards your one goal together. Sure,
absolutely. You know, I'm starting, I teach at a Catholic school, and we're starting a theater program. Yesterday we had our first meeting, and this whole ethic about how everybody pulls together, and there are no small roles. There are only small actors, right? They kind of look at you funny. They don't really get that, you know. Many kids, of course, you know, when they come into a program like that, if they don't get a leading role, they tend to want to just quit, you know? And so we're very much trying to talk the sports analogy that we need everybody to play together, that's
absolutely
how we win. And for a youngster, that can be difficult at the beginning. But
absolutely.
You're right when you say that it's an ethic that can be lifelong, a lifelong good thing, if you've sort of learned that, you know. So that's true, you know. You've got that in there for yourself going forth for future auditions and future productions. It's great.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So do you think you'll head off to Europe at any time?
Oh, my gosh, if I'm lucky.
Well, I mean, you have to audition. You have to go over there
and
audition, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's something I've been talking about with my partner has a job that I don't know what he could do in the European sphere, but it would be a dream really to be able to do that. So there are a couple of audition-y type things, like kind of panel audition things that I've looked into. And I think I'm in kind of I'm getting really solid on what my audition rep should be.
Good.
So I think at the end of next audition season, I should be in a really great place to put it all out there.
That's
and just
right.
go big swings.
You do. And you have to really know what you're good at and what will be receptive. You know, those first six arias are huge. But, you know,
the
writing the letter to the agencies isn't that difficult. They do want to have good singers, and they like American singers. They find American singers educated. Well educated. I won't go any further than that. But you know, if you have the wherewithal to do that. You go at the right time. You send out your letters. You go over there and you sing for your agents, and you get a gig, hopefully. You know, when you go to Europe, just for our, you probably know this, but, you know, for our listeners, it's not like you go to a house, an opera house, and audition. You can't get to the house auditions unless you have the agent in Europe.
Right.
They are the ones that connect you to the openings that would be in an opera house. So it's really important for American singers to get the agent and then make the audition tour over in Europe. And if you get a gig over there, generally speaking, they're, or they used to be, I don't know if they are right now, but they used to be of some duration, which would allow you to stay in one place and play multiple roles. So
yes, I think the structure over there, it sounds a lot more like job stable, in air quotes.
Like
here it's gig kind of based. You're on for the show, you're on for the show.
Mm-hmm.
There it's more, you're on for this whole season or two seasons.
Yes,
so
yes, absolutely.
Go ahead and rent an apartment.
Yeah. And the opera houses usually help you even with that. So, it's all a good thing. Addison, I want to thank you so much for being with us here on Artful Living. And I look forward to meeting you on the 28th. It will be swell to hear you sing live. And good luck at New Hampshire Opera Idol.
Thank you, Jane. It's wonderful to speak to you.
Yes.
Can't wait.
You have a good day. And we want to thank everybody for listening to Artful Living. And we will see you next time. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. WKXL, New Hampshire Talk Radio. We're signing off. We'll see you again soon.